What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the Morning Toast, everyone. Happy Thursday. Hope you're having an amazing day. We're so close to the end of the week.
We're so close we can taste it. Some of us are already having an amazing day.
Do you smell it?
I smell betrayal once again.
Yeah, I don't really honestly just like want to glaze over it. I don't want to talk about it because it's so deeply painful and okay. And it's honestly embarrassing. Like, can we just skate past it?
I don't think it's embarrassing. I really don't.
Of course you don't, because you're the winner in the betrayal. Where like literally my own son.
At least
it's like, do you pay his bills? No. Like, I literally walk him all the time, feed him, pay his motherfucking bills. Bitches subscribe to BarkBox. Like, still can't sit with me on the show. Oh, wait. Am I convincing him?
Is he on the... I don't know. He's just getting more comfortable with his auntie. At least he did the betrayal before the cameras went on, and he didn't, like, publicly shame me.
Yeah, but no,
like
then
that.
You brought it up, so you're publicly shaming me.
Well, I mean, nobody's perfect. Maybe this is an April Fool's prank he's playing on you.
Oh, yeah. So I just want to give a disclaimer to the show. Like, we don't have April Fool's pranks for you. I find them annoying. Jackie had, like, one idea and I didn't like it. I'm like, we're just going to end up, like, being offensive. Like,
of course. No, my prank was, like, an idea that I never, like, actually wanted to do because it's, like, way too crazy and, like, you guys couldn't handle it.
No, like, the world couldn't handle it. Like, April Fool's has now become, like, a sensitive thing. Like,
no, I feel like April Fool's, I actually think that like COVID was great for April Fool's because it gave like this reset to April Fool's that we all needed. And I really am caught off guard. Like today, Dana got me this morning. Every year she tries to get me.
What'd she do?
Some years she has, some years she hasn't. She texted me and I woke up and I happened to like wake up a little earlier and was just like scrolling on my phone. And I opened her text first and she like said something about one of the vaccines. I don't want to like spread misinformation and get this video taken down, but she was like, oh my god, like Pfizer vaccine, like all these studies just came out, like I'm not gonna say because like literally like the video will be taken down.
April 1st is so sensitive.
Like, no, like vaccine information is so sensitive,
right?
So, and I was like, oh my god, what? I was like, send me the article. And she's like, I can't, April Fool's.
Oh god, she's so nerdy, like that's what she came up with.
She lives for April Fool's. I was like, who else did you get? I think she got a lot of people, but people had been on to her for so many years. Like, you have an alarm set, like Dana's texting you, it's April Fool's. But because of COVID, like, I feel like people's defenses are really down, and like April Fool's is, they're having success.
No, the key to April Fool's is just like catching someone who doesn't realize it's April 1st yet. You know, that's why you have to do it in the morning.
She always sends the morning text. Like, she literally wakes up early. It's like her birthday, I swear. She loves April Fool's. And so, she got me today. She really did.
So just be on alert from like your favorite like influencers and celebrities like pulling pranks on you. Like, Ben did one this morning that I actually thought was pretty funny. But all in all, I'm like not into pranks. So there are no pranks here today. People rely on this show. We're going to give you the same old regular show. Nothing crazy. No pranks. We're not pranking anyone. Theo, stop eating the plant. Theo. Theo. Come to mom.
Or is he? Or is it a prank?
Oh. Everything today, I'm going to be like, is it a prank? Is it not? I can't leave my house because I'm just going to be paranoid like that people are pranking me.
Yeah, and also I'm just going to like use this as an excuse to stay off social media because I'm not in the mood to have my like emotions toyed with.
Yeah.
Like, and someone already sent me something and it's like they got fooled and then they're sending it to me like, look at this. And I'm like, you fool.
Yeah, you're a fool. Fool me once. No, and also, I'm really hoping that this year we don't have any moronic celebrities or influencers who do, like, a fake pregnancy announcement. Because, like, we're so beyond that as a society. It's just, like, not acceptable.
I just don't know who would. Like,
Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber did it, like, 2 years ago.
Oh, did they?
And they got so much shit for it.
Good.
Rightfully like, so. That's not a funny prank.
No, it's not a funny prank, like, for those who are pranked, nor for the prankies. Like,
you could have a baby one day. So like, why would you want to make a joke about it?
Yeah.
No, it's just weird. So like, hopefully nobody does anything idiotic like that.
I'm sure someone will. Don't worry.
Yeah. No, that's the one thing I can always rely on, like people on the internet for, like to do something stupid. And then I just watch.
Mwahaha. Mwahaha.
But no pranks here today. And that's not a prank either. We're fully just doing a regular show.
It's hard to tell though. Sometimes you just never know what could happen on April Fool's.
I know. I am getting a haircut today. So I'm excited. I think I'll maybe get a bob. April Fool's.
I think you should get a bob.
I know. I kind of just want to do something drastic. I say that every time, and then I get the same like 3-inch trim with layers and angles, you know, like.
I honestly think you should get curtain bangs. Like everyone's doing it. And I think some people like are doing it who shouldn't be doing it. But I think like it would suit you. The curtain bang.
No, I'm like, I'm open to
also,
it.
Also like me, I'm so out of touch. Like I thought that Snitch invented curtain bangs, but they're everywhere.
No, it's like a trend on TikTok.
No, I know. Now I know that now.
So like, I'm just kind of hesitant to take like permanent beauty solutions and trends from TikTok. Like, okay, when it comes to trying a foundation, like I'll try a foundation, but cutting my hair because someone on TikTok told me to, I don't know if that's a level of like loser I can get to.
I don't know. I think for some people, though, it's like it's the right move.
100%. I'm not saying.
And I'm saying I think for you, like it could be the right move. I just want to see you do something crazy. Like
I'm going to think about it.
Pixie cut. Change it up.
Stop. So just like spam me with like your favorite hair inspiration photos so I can like get some inspiration.
Yeah. We love inspiration. Speaking of nothing that we were just talking about, new episode of The Redheads dropped this morning.
Speaking of being inspired.
Totally. New episode of The Redheads dropped. I'm wearing my Redheads merch like in support of me and my gals. Yeah. Also, like you can still get Redheads merch at shopmorningtoast.com. This is literally my favorite sweater ever.
By the way, the Rascal Flatts song, Me and My Gang, is you and the Redheads.
100%.
We should Photoshop your heads on
we
that.
We live to rock.
Me and
we
my rock gang.
To live.
That's you guys.
We live to read. We read to live.
So true.
Oh my God. We should put that on a mug.
Yeah.
So head over to the Redheads Book Club. Listen to the episode. Read the book. Snitch's Choice just dropped for next month. Except I just saw a comment that like it's not available to purchase anywhere. So like that might be a problem.
What?
Yeah, someone was like, I can't find it on my Kindle. Like if it's not on the Kindle, then it doesn't.
Yeah, it
then
ain't good.
Then it's nowhere. So stay tuned on that. But yeah, it's always a great time to be a redhead.
Always.
Feels like a particularly good time. And other than that, it's super windy and rainy here in New York today, but thank God you are here to break that wind.
No, I know. Like, that's what I do best, break wind. And Jackie convinced me to get this jacket when we were in Dallas, and I made a commitment to myself. Like, if I'm going to buy a Fendi jacket, then I'm going to wear it oh so many times that, like, at this point, based on what I paid for it.
It pays for itself.
I think, like, each time I wear it, it cuts the price of the jacket like in half.
Yeah.
And I feel like now I'm literally at like $50 for this jacket.
$50 per wear.
Huge bargain.
Yeah. Such a bargain.
Such a bargain.
Such a great investment, I would say.
A great, great investment.
It's such a cute jacket.
By a great investor.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm here to break the wind. We had like 4 good days in New York. We really thought like spring had sprung, and now it's like 30 degrees, it's raining, and it's cold.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, that's kind of my mood today. I'm just in a.
Over it. I mean, Thursday, like, we have so much to look forward to. Like, I just want everyone to take a moment to realize, kind of acknowledge the space that we're in, because it goes by so fast.
Please, lay it out for us.
We actually have things to look forward to on this Thursday. Like, okay, yeah, tomorrow's Friday, so it's like a half fake day at work.
And also, it's Good Friday, so you might have off, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Not really. Okay.
Might not.
But you might be able to, like, celebrate with your family and, you know, honor the spirit of Christ, right?
100%.
So that's exciting.
It might be a very good Friday.
Good Friday, millennials. And then we have the weekend. And, like, I don't know. I just feel like we're always, like, lamenting on the other side of the weekend. And if we're going to do that, I feel like we should balance it out and really talk about how grateful we are to, like, be alive on this Thursday and have so much to look forward to. Not only do we have a Friday, a good Friday to look forward to, we have a Saturday and a Sunday. And I just think I would be remiss, devastated, and heartbroken if I just didn't at least acknowledge the space that we're currently living in. 100%. That's all I'm
trying to say. And also, Sunday is Easter. And so, oh,
yeah,
like,
I'm going to an Easter party.
Like, Easter brunch, Pliny vibes. Like, that's something to look forward to as well.
Also, thank you for reminding me. As long as we're warning people, you know, be on the lookout for...
She has risen
be
captions.
On the lookout for April Fools. This is your message. Like, do not make your Instagram caption, she has risen, or he has risen, on Easter, because...
Like, just about yourself.
Learn from my mistakes. People don't think that's funny. Even though... I still think it was like a funny, clever caption, but I'm never trying to hurt people, you know?
Yeah, for
especially sure. On a special day for them.
100%. Easter.
So I don't know who needs to hear that, but it's not a good caption and it's no longer socially acceptable.
Well, April Fools, do it. So yeah, no, thank you for taking that moment to acknowledge the space that we are in. I'm really looking forward to
it's
the weekend.
It's so important to constantly be acknowledging the space that you're currently in. Do you know what I'm saying?
100%.
Especially, that's how people on Clubhouse talk, you
especially
know?
Especially if you're in a... No, stop. Don't insult Clubhouse like that. Like, that's how people on, like, podcasts talk.
No, people on Clubhouse, it's very, like, VC.
It is, but there, I find at least the ones that I've joined, like, they're actually saying stuff.
No, the ones that I join are, like, about Bravo and the Toast, so, like, they're obviously like, substantial.
The ones that I've joined about, like, business or, like, society and culture, like, I find that they're actually saying stuff, not, like, it's important to acknowledge the space that you're in.
Oh, actually, I completely disagree. I think, like, that... What the joke I just made, like, is completely accurate.
No, I think that's how people on podcasts talk.
No.
Not this podcast. Of course obviously not. You should always cultivate your vibe, but...
Always.
People on, like, other podcasts.
Well, you know what? At the end of the day,
but I just
whether,
say,
wait, whether or not we agree or disagree, I think we can both agree that it's so important to constantly be acknowledging the space that you're currently in.
100%. Okay. And just to play off of that.
Oh, yeah.
And to piggyback, please. I think it's so important to acknowledge when you're in a positive space.
I agree.
Because
all jokes aside.
Because as humans, we're so inclined to acknowledge when we're in a negative space. Yep. That in order to achieve balance and mindfulness, we must also... acknowledge when we're in that positive space.
I'm so 100% in agreement with you. You are so smart. And I think we should circle back and kind of follow up on that by end of day.
Yeah, for sure. But also acknowledge like that we're in that space.
Right. Theo, if you don't stop eating the plant, pardon me one moment.
Okay. I'll sing a song about Theo eating the McPlant. Tiggs and his plant. He lives to plant. He plants to live. Tiggs and... What are you getting? Oh, treats for Theo. Do, 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 do.
Sorry, guys. Just had to take care of my son. Come up here. No, all the way up here.
Okay. You should keep treats with you there. Took the treat and ran.
You know what? Theo's like maybe going through a growth spurt or something. He's being like hella disrespectful recently.
I don't know. I feel like he's been really respectful towards me.
I'm happy for you. We have a great show, by the way, because not only do we have the Fast Five stories, but Real Housewives of New Jersey was... flaming. Well, no, that's not the right word. Like on fire. On fire last night. Such a good episode. And I thought like after last week's episode, we would kind of take a reprieve from like all the drums.
No.
But
the first 5 minutes of the episode last night were like some of the craziest things. It was literally.
Croutons flying.
Like cheese plate.
Was it cheese?
It was a cheese plate.
It looked like croutons.
No. Who has that many croutons?
I know. I thought it was weird. I'm like, where's the lettuce?
It was cheese, cube cheese.
Okay.
No, but like everyone was like going to 100 and then like right back down to zero. So like literally Melissa like throwing the plate and then immediately cleaning it up. But it's like saying something and then being like, wait.
I'm sorry.
What?
Like
no, being like, wait, what did you say? Like no one could remember what they said. Like were they all so drunk? Was Jackie so drunk?
Belligerent? We'll talk about it because it was such a good episode. No, like, and honestly, if you've been thinking about getting into Housewives, like I would honestly just like pick up maybe from like last season of Jersey because there's so much history to Jersey. And right now I feel like maybe it's not that applicable, but it's such a good season. I was just like not expecting that.
No.
From this season of New Jersey.
No, and like every outing that they have is so precarious. Like, is someone going to explode? It's literally a minefield.
It's a volatile group of women and men.
Yeah, no, and it's like, okay, we finally simmered her volcano, Teresa and Jackie, but like then bubbling beneath the surface, we have Jennifer versus Margaret. And I have to say, like, I've always liked Jennifer because I think she's an interesting girl and she's funny and all that jazz. But I've officially turned on her because she crossed the line with Margaret. Therefore, she crossed the line with me.
Agreed. And Jennifer Aiden might fall under the... Not yet, but she gives me Dorinda vibes in the sense where it's like she could be as like funny and catchphrasy as you want. But if you continually say like horrible, unethical things like turkey baster comment like that, to me, Dorinda's turkey baster comment is the same as Jennifer. What?
No, nothing.
Is that one of my examples I always use that you're going to make fun of me from now on?
Yeah.
So fucking annoying. Whatever. All I'm saying, it's like the same level of depravity
just
as Jennifer.
April Fools. I'm kidding.
Thank you. As Jennifer Aiden's most recent comment, which was really disgusting.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't associate the two. To me, Jennifer Aiden is a little more endearing. Because I like Jennifer at times.
But a lot of people like Dorinda.
No, but I don't. So to me, she's more endearing, but below the belt. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and it gets really old really fast. But Jersey is like one of those franchises like OC where they just like constantly go below the belt.
Yeah, and that's where they live. But they also like don't talk about like certain things.
It's very confusing. Yeah. Old school family, Italian, you can't talk about family.
Yeah, you can talk about like these three categories, but you can go so fucking hard on the others that it's like...
It doesn't even matter.
What's the difference?
So that will be in our TV recap segment at the end of the show. And I do believe...
Without further ado...
Yeah, without further ado...
April Fools. Without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Martha Stewart and Marley Spoon. They make great tasting meals possible every day of the week by delivering a variety of recipe options ranging from breakfast to dinner to desserts. Meals feature both the classic flavors you love, plus new and exciting flavors you'll want to discover. They have a brand new menu of 29 deliciously different recipes every week. All the recipes can have just 6 simple steps and 10 ingredients, and they can be prepared in about 30 minutes. Ordering is super easy, and it removes the burden of grocery shopping and meal planning. Your orders can be customized every week to suit your tastes and special diets, and you could skip or pause deliveries at any time. So we recently tried out Marley Spoon like maybe 2 months ago, and I tried out the chicken and broccoli, which was so delightful as someone who's kind of like a chicken and broccoli connoisseur. Mm-hmm. I've never made it at home, and it was so fresh and so good and so easy to make. I'm not a chef, like, by any means. But I thought the Marley Spoon meals were really easy to plan.
And they were also so fancy. Like, I'm really enjoying cooking, and the Marley Spoon delivery that I got, it was like a salmon dish with like capers. I forget what it was called. It was like a fancy salmon name. And I was like, I truly felt like Martha Stewart. Like, I'm not just cooking, but I'm like making fancy, impressive food.
Yeah, and impressing others.
Yeah, and in an easy way.
So it's like, if I'm going to make something at home, it might as well be made by Martha Stewart, or else I don't want it.
I send it back.
So if you're tired of the same old, go to marleyspoon.com for a variety of chef-designed dinners from Martha Stewart. And the Morning Toast listeners can save $100 over your first 4 orders and get free shipping on the first delivery. But you have to use code TOAST. That's code TOAST at marleyspoon.com. Marley is spelled M-A-R-L-E-Y. Code TOAST. Imagine eating deliciously different chef-quality meals every day of the week. Martha Stewart and Marley Spoon make it possible. Go to marleyspoon.com today, and that's code TOAST to save $100 over your first 4 orders.
Love it. Okay, first story, a little more Jen Shah news.
Oh my God, I'll never get tired.
Things are coming out about Jen, and this is not news to me, but the news is treating it as news, and I want to talk about it. Jen Shah's house, the infamous Shah Ski Chalet, is an alleged fraud too. Real Housewives star Jen Shah was arrested on Tuesday for alleged money laundering and defrauding hundreds of elderly people in a telemarketing scam. But her alleged victims weren't the only ones getting faked out. So were Bravo fans. The star became notorious for her flamboyant fashions and her friendship faux pas. And the Shah Ski Chalet that she lived in, a $3.9 million Salt Lake City rental, she grandly passed off as the Shah Chalet. Never actually belonged to her, the Post has learned.
Yes, we've been knowing this.
We did know this. We talked about this on the show that she was renting her house, but like it never bubbled up to more. But now it's like, and apparently in the past, Andy has even said like he doesn't understand the concept of renting at all. He said it's just throwing money away, especially a huge home. I don't get it. This was not something that was asked of her on the show at all. Like, and also it came up. Brandi Redmond brought it up on her podcast, I think. And then, like, she didn't even say it was Jen. She said one of the Salt Lake City housewives is renting from, like, a friend of mine. And then Jen, like, clap backed at her, you want to come for me with your red hair and bullshit? Come harder, honey.
Wow, Jen Shah, for someone who had so many skeletons in her closet, she really acted like a maniac. Like, you would think if you have that much to hide, you would kind of just, like, be nice to people and, like, put up, like a facade. Of course, we knew that this house was rented. We've said it multiple times on the show. And that's not shocking. But I do have to say, like, there are very few housewives in certain franchises. I think in certain cities, it's more acceptable to rent. I think in New York, a lot of people rent.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, like, raise as many eyebrows. But, like, when Dorit and PK were renting that house that J-Lo used to live in, now they live in a different house that I believe that they bought.
Yeah.
But they have had some questionable financial stuff, too. So, like, in certain cities, it does kind of make me question, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, and like, then Karen Huger is renting her new house in Potomac, but she's been very open about their tax problems. So, like, that makes sense.
Right. And unless there's a really good reason, like, I'm pretty sure, did we not hear that one of the other Salt Lake City housewives was renting too, but also because she doesn't live in Salt Lake City?
No. Heather lives in Park City proper, and there's like tons of limitations on whether or not you can film in certain areas, and Heather was not allowed to film in her actual home, so I believe they rented a home like to set the scene for her fake home.
Yeah,
that's a different story.
Yeah,
I believe the home that she has in Park City, like, she owns.
Yeah, so I agree, but to pass off a home like as completely your own, when,
especially like, when it's so big, like,
yeah. And then the other part of the story is that they found the home that she did own up until 2020, and it is
a very modest, small mid-size, I would say Art Deco.
Yeah.
Home. Yeah.
And it's not the chalet.
You could fit like probably six of those homes in the chalet if you're just looking for, you know, scale reference.
Yeah. So on the one hand, this whole situation like makes me like question other housewives. I'm like, okay, if there was like where there's smoke, if it, apparently where there's smoke, there's fire. Like,
yeah.
Are some of my other housewives like, is there a fire, a blaze?
Well, I mean, it's
on
not
the
being...
other hand, though, I feel like Bravo really, or in certain situations, like obviously I'm thinking of Dorit and PK. Their yeah. finances have been questioned. They did interviews on the show where like the producers are grilling them about their finances and they're both sitting there like trying to answer questions. And so I'm like, okay, Bravo was asking the questions, but like I feel like for Jen Shaw, like nobody was asking.
Nobody knew to ask the questions. Like,
I don't know. They knew she was renting her house.
Yeah, but there are a ton of like housewives who live beyond their means for the show. So I guess, yes, production could have like pushed her a little bit and pressed harder on like how all of this makes sense on like a, you know, assistant college football coach's salary. But I think they like to keep the, you know, the dream alive, you know?
Yeah, but they press Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
So
hers was more obviously confusing, in my opinion, because I don't understand how you can like own churches. Aren't churches nonprofit? Like, I just had more questions about Mary when I really should have been having more questions about Jen. I was just like, damn, how did she get so much? But like, then there's also, I have so many questions about like Leanne Locken. Like, she admittedly was the poorest housewife on that franchise, but had nicer designer clothing, bags, jewelry than any of the other women. Like, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is still one of the great mysteries of our lifetime.
Yeah, like every single scene she was showing up.
She came
like,
on the toast twice, each time in different Gucci and Chanel looks.
Yeah, head to toe.
Head to toe. Wait, also, you sent me something this morning about Jen Shaw, which is like super fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. Because now people are just like questioning all the telemarketing phone calls they've ever gotten. And somebody like dug up this like voicemail they got from a telemarketing scheme where the woman is calling, you know, to press about the person's like student loans. And like, swear to God, the woman is Jen Shaw.
It sounds similar to Jen Shaw.
It's crazy.
What account was it that I sent it?
It was...
Just so you guys can go and listen for yourselves.
It was so crazy when you sent it to me. Like my
Bravo,
jaw.
Bravo, ducking Bravo.
Bravo, Bravo.
The, and they also have like a lot of other stuff about Jen's previous home. And so if you want more information about that, take a listen. But at the moral of this story is, do not pick up the phone. It's Derek Smith.
Yeah, do not pick answer up the phone. It's Derek Jen Shaw. Smith. Yeah. Oh man, that's so fucking funny. We need to... If you're a video editor, like somebody make that scene in the elevator and have it be... Do not answer this phone. It's Derek Smith to Jen Shaw. That is so fucking funny.
So funny. And if you haven't watched Confessions of a Shopaholic yet, you absolutely need to.
I don't know how you watch this show and haven't seen Confessions of a Shopaholic when we literally quote it like almost every single show. Oh, so sad for the Fiscal family.
For the whole Fish family. But like we say so many things that I think, or like.
Men like you are the reason I left Finland.
So much drama at Successful Savings.
Yes!
We say so many quotes that, like, I don't even think people know what
people
it's from.
Probably associate it, like, with the toast as opposed to the original movie, which is fine with me.
Which is fine with me, but definitely treat yourself.
The girl in the green scarf. It's such a good movie.
It's such a good movie.
I feel like most people have seen it, but you made a good point to me, like, a year ago that I never realized why that movie, like, it didn't flop, but it didn't become, like, an iconic film that it should have because it was released, like, right during the recession. Mm-hmm. So it's, like,
this frivolous, like, Measures of a Shopaholic, like, can't stop shopping. No one was in the mood.
Right, during the 2008 housing crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think now, well, it's also like another crisis.
Big one.
It's like never a good time for that movie.
It's never a good time for that movie, but it's also always a good time for that movie.
I agree. Check it out if you haven't yet. Like, content upper for sure.
Galore. I don't know what platform it's on, but it's definitely on like a Netflix or a Hulu.
Mm-hmm. You ready for our next story? It reminds me of your windbreaker.
Okay.
Tiffany Haddish rewears her iconic Alexander McQueen gown for the 8th time in People's Beautiful issue.
Oh, I love that she is not letting this joke go.
No, like, I love this joke. I love that she's not letting it go. It's still a stunning, beautiful dress, and now it's back. You know the one, the Alexander McQueen halter gown that she wore to the Academy Awards, the MTV Movie Awards, and while hosting SNL, is making another show-stopping appearance, this time in People's 2021 Beautiful issue. She said, "This is the longest-running joke in Hollywood. It's the gown that keeps on giving."
It's true.
When asked what her boyfriend Common says about the dress.
I forgot that they're dating.
I know. She told People that he thinks it's hilarious.
Oh my God.
It is hilarious.
I'm like living for this space Tiffany Haddish is in. Like, she like rose to such astronomical success so fast, like from that movie Girls Trip. And now I just feel like she's like living her best life. I feel like she was doing the most for like 2 years, just like being like the premier female comedian. And now she can kind of relax. Like, she's hosting game shows and she's just like living with her boyfriend in her Alexander McQueen dress. dress. And I'm just like, I want to be in the space that Tiffany Haddish is in, like, forever.
Yeah, totally. And she's looking stunning and beautiful and smart while doing it.
I love that she's keeping this joke going. Like, I 100% respect and relate to the fact that, like, I think when she bought it, she just, like, wasn't famous enough to be, like, gifted a designer gown. But, like, she was, like, pretty famous, so she just bought it herself, and it was, like, $8,000.
Yeah. And so she's like, I'm going to make the most of it. It's literally like the windbreaker. I would call this dress an investment. And
did
I think,
she say she's worn it 8 times?
Yeah, this is her 8th time.
So now it's $1,000 per dress.
And 8 dresses for $1,000 each. And also it's like an amazing dress on her. Like, it's like a glove. So sickening. A steal.
A steal. I'm really happy for her that she's really getting her money's worth.
Yeah, and I'm sure like this year there wasn't really anywhere to wear it. And I'm sure she was like, oh, the dress has to be shelved for a year.
We can't have the joke die.
But the dress is back. And I'm so happy to see the dress.
As am I.
So, also happy that she's in People's Most Beautiful issue.
Yeah, I guess maybe my email went to spam when they reached out for...
Yeah, no, I heard that you were busy and Theo was busy, and so...
Theo's actually really offended. He's kind of, you know, taking a stand against People.
Oh,
because... That he wasn't included.
Because he was supposed to be Sexiest Man Alive. The plan is shaking behind you.
Okay, should I just... I feel like this is giving me flashbacks back to when Theo was a puppy and he, like, wouldn't behave.
Yeah. No, I wonder what's going on with him. No. First he betrays, and then he's, like, going for the McPlant. Come here, Theo. Okay.
I'm sorry about that, you guys.
It's okay.
What, Theo, yesterday he, like, made the show, and then today he's, like, just trying to take away
now
from
today
the show.
He's breaking the show.
Yeah.
Oh, also, speaking of Theo and the show, we did a podcast episode on Patreon yesterday all about the pups. Theo, Bruce, Knowles, answering all your questions, like all about training them and our best moments, worst moments. And it was such a great podcast. We also came up with Housewives taglines for each of them.
Oh my God, yes, I forgot about that.
And they were so funny.
Theo's breath like literally smells like plant.
Oh my
God. It's kind of good.
My breath may smell like plant.
But
I love my aunt.
That's good.
That's mad good. Okay. Also, there was like some drama, did you see, with Snitch and like.
I know. Like a bunch of toasters.
Stuff.
Like
someone was trying to start stuff and come between.
Went in Margot's DMs and was like, Margot, Claudia and Jackie were talking shit about Magnolia on the podcast episode about the pups, which we literally did not do.
No, we didn't. And at first I was like, oh shit, we're caught. And then I was like, wait, what are you talking about? I honestly don't know like what I would have said because I have so much love in my heart for Noel. So I wouldn't get on a podcast and say something to the contrary.
So like whoever the snitch is, show yourself.
And I was like to Snitch, I was like, wouldn't you want to give us like the benefit of the doubt that like we...
No, she said she believes the girl.
No, like, and here's the thing. Like, she'll never come to, like, find out what we said because she will never listen to it.
No, it's so upsetting.
It's like, God forbid you just listen to it and find out
for yourself.
She
didn't even want to hear me out. And I said, like, you can go listen to it. We have nothing to hide. And she was like, I just believe the person who sent me the message. So, like.
Right. Like, after years of, like, being her camper.
Right.
No.
Means nothing.
Means nothing. No respect for the bunk.
None whatsoever. No trust.
Hate to see it. Are you ready for our next story? A little content news.
Sure.
Netflix buys Knives Out sequels for $450 million.
They're making a sequel?
Knives Out 2 and Knives Out 3. Netflix is plunking down an astounding $450 million for the rights to those two movies. The next two follow-ups are from the 2019 murder mystery, sources tell Variety.
I just feel like that's a movie that like doesn't need a sequel. I know that's not the
like,
story.
It was like a perfect movie.
Ending.
Yeah, like it was just like a perfect... Perfect.
Yeah, so...
I wonder if it's... The films will reunite director Rian Johnson and star Daniel Craig, who teamed up so memorably on the first one. I wonder if it's going to be like Daniel Craig goes and does a whole
other
new,
mysteries.
Yeah, like I guess no Ana de Armas.
Oh, okay. That actually sounds like a better concept for a movie, even though I loved the cast very much.
Me too. And I loved Ana de Armas in it.
I loved Ana de Armas and I loved the Chris, whose last name I don't know. I want to say, let me guess. Evans?
I think so.
Captain America, that was him, right?
Yeah.
Evans, yeah. He's so handsome. He keeps coming up on my For You page, like, sweet things.
To?
Like, not him specifically, like, his fan accounts being like, oh my God, this man. And it's like, every time, like, he's done an award show and, like, helped someone up the stairs, like, who won, it's just like, he's so manly.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Remember when there was that rumor he was dating Vale?
Yes.
From Vanderpump Rules? I think about that all the time.
I know you do, and then you talk about it all the time, every single time he comes up.
It's the craziest thing. Do you think they actually did? Did you guys remember that random girl, Vale? I always get her name confused. I sometimes call her Aspen. I just know she's like a popular ski destination. But I want to say her name is Vale. It was a different Chris. Who dated her. Okay, whatever.
I can't go back
here. I think it was a Pine.
I can't go back to this place.
I can't go back to this place either. Whatever. Okay,
moving Knives on. Out 2 and 3 coming to Netflix for $450 million. I hope you guys liked it that much.
Okay, like, I know that Netflix is like a really big company and they make their money by like, you know, charging everyone $11 a month.
And then now like doubling down on that.
I just don't understand how they have that much money. Like, for two movies, $450 million.
Well, the first movie was made on a $40 million budget, and it earned $311 million.
No, I get it. It's an investment. But movies earn...
But it's not a beautiful windbreaker, so I can't imagine right. they're going to get much back.
But, like, okay, play this out with me. Like, okay, you... In a studio, $40 million, it made $300 in theaters and DVD and on demand. Netflix gives it away for free to their customers.
To their subscribers. But, like, they think... I guess the gamble here is that even more people are going to subscribe because they love Knives Out 1. They've got to see 2 and 3.
They're just... Netflix is very much giving me Jen Shah also, vibes. That's all I'm trying to say.
They also need to keep their customers happy. Netflix was giving me Jen Shah vibes until the pandemic. And now it's like they're just making money hand over fist.
Yeah. I just don't know how... Like, how does Netflix monetize other than charging us for our subscription? I'm sure they probably sell our data.
No. But, like, that's... Period.
Period? Oh, okay.
Period.
You don't need multiple revenue streams once you're selling people's data. And just ask Jen Shah.
And when you have a, like, the subscription that they have.
Yeah, I guess that's good.
Yeah. I think they're okay. Okay, next story is really going to test your memory.
Oh, God.
Do you remember back in 2015, the Twitter thread that went viral?
Zola, yes.
Zola. Did you see the story?
Yeah.
Zola the movie.
It's all over TikTok.
Oh, okay. Zola the movie is here.
I know.
Now that the story is the basis for Zola the movie, it made its debut last year at Sundance's Film Festival and will hit theaters this summer.
Let's give people a little background.
Okay. In 2015, a Twitter thread went viral detailing the Odessian saga of Aziah Minot, Zola King, a Detroit waitress and dancer who embarked on a mind-boggling road trip to Florida with a schemer she met just hours before.
The schemer's name was Jen Shah.
Sorry. 148 tweet thread that goes through all of the twists and turns of this trip that she took, and it was crazy.
And it went viral.
Then someone bought the rights to the Twitter thread and the story, said they were going to make a movie. They made a movie. Here it is.
It's Zola. Crazy how, like, we got a Sully movie, like, before Sully even finished landing the plane on the Hudson, but this movie took, like, 5 years.
Yeah. Well, Sully landed... Oh, it was you know a beautiful I mean. Day.
Jackie is like a Sully.
I'm Sully Stan.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they make movies for people before they're even dead. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, why did this one take so long?
No, I agree.
Sounds low budget.
But I do feel like the longer it takes, the better it's going to be.
Agreed. Sometimes I feel like it's almost inauthentic when a movie comes out so quickly.
It's like...
Okay, 13, 15 to Paris.
Yeah.
That movie came out literally while the men were still on the train. Like, it was so fucking quick.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like, we need...
Time.
Time, curious time.
Yeah, like, I think American Sniper did a good job of, like, honoring Chris Kyle, but, like, waiting an appropriate amount of time.
Yeah, but that was also not a story that, like, most people knew.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah, we've just gotten into, like, this weird cycle of, like, making movies so fast after, like, major historical events and tragedies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, give people time.
No, time, and also, like, let it play out, you know?
Right, like, things could happen years later.
Yeah, or just, like, the way that it sits, you know? You gotta let it ruminate. It is so important to ruminate.
And while you're ruminating, it's also important to, you know, acknowledge the time you're currently living in. Oh,
it's important to acknowledge the rumination stage. Are you ready for our fifth and final story? It's a little charitable news.
It's the fifth and final.
April Fools, guys.
We're
kidding.
So crazy. April Fools.
Fifth and final story. Kylie Jenner donates $500,000 to help teen cancer patients in honor of friend Harry Hudson.
Oh.
Kylie is honoring her friend Harry Hudson, a singer-songwriter and cancer survivor, by helping teens undergoing cancer treatment. The star donated $500,000 alongside funds from nonprofit organization Teen Cancer America to build a new lounge space at Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt. The area will serve the unique needs of adolescent and young adult cancer patients, according to a release.
I mean, I just love Kylie, and I really am very defensive of her. This does feel like a nice fuck you to all the people who were like, you only donated $5,000 to the GoFundMe for your makeup artist.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of this very philanthropic, and let's just stop counting other people's money, you know?
Totally. I'm sure someone will find a way to make this a negative story. But until then, I think it's a positive. And considering she was getting charity shamed last week, I thought it was important to share her charitable acts of this week.
You know, the whole charity shaming space is so confusing because like, we charity shame people who don't do charity, or they're just not sharing it. So it's like, but then when they do share it, it's like, why are you sharing
and
it?
And it's also not enough.
So it's like, what do we do, you know?
Yeah.
It's very confusing. Taylor Swift, all roads lead back to Taylor Swift, but like.
No, if you find yourself in the business of charity shaming, maybe take a look. Maybe recognize the space that you're in.
I don't even want to say anything else because that was so perfectly worded.
End the show.
Thank you so much for listening to. No, we have to talk about the Real Housewives of New Jersey. The Real Housewives of New Jersey last night was impeccable. Here's a few things that I immediately noticed.
Okay.
Need a house in the Jersey Shore, and honestly, I just want to buy Melissa's out from underneath
Melissa's
her.
Or to contract Joe Gorga to build me
because
the
from the front of the house, it's very unassuming. Looks like, you know, like a mid-century ranch. But it obviously has this like insane back, 7 bedrooms, the backyard, the patio, the pool, the ocean, the bar, like, and it's so well done.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. And like, they obviously like are just like the best versions of themselves there, you know?
Yeah, no, like they are so happy. I really wanted to be there, but I was also just really happy for them.
Me too.
Like Melissa just like making daiquiri. Like the outdoor bar is so sickening. The boat, the jet skis. Like, there was just so many fun times to be had there.
Yeah. I would be like really upset if like the Gorga money wasn't real because I like how they spend it. Like they do it in a nice family friendly way.
Yeah. No, I think here's the thing. I wonder how long you're on TV. If you're like running, you know, some sort of criminal enterprise, how long are you on TV before like the feds find out? You know, I feel like they have surpassed.
That's true.
You know, like Jen Chao was 1 season. I feel like even for Teresa, it was like 2 seasons, 3?
No, like 4. I don't know. More. Yeah, I know what you mean. No, I know what you mean.
You know, so I think they're safe.
I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but I just really, I love them as a couple. And I loved that they finally like stood up for themselves in the face of Teresa, because they're in this space where like they fully understand what's going on between everything and everyone. They're very clug. Like they understand how the world works. Teresa just kind of lives in her own head, so she doesn't really understand what's going on. But for Melissa and Joe, it's just like constantly getting beaten down by Teresa and then also being expected to defend her. And it's just like this impossible dynamic to want to keep the family peace, but also like at what sacrifice? Like to what end do we just keep our sister happy while she literally berates us?
Yeah, no.
And they both just fucking lost their minds. And I was like happy for them.
I was happy for them too. I think that it needed to happen. When Joe Gorga said that no man has ever taken away more from him than Joe Giudice, I like felt that in my soul.
He was so angry, and I know it was just like all the for him and Melissa, like they've been holding this in. I'm sure every night before they go to bed, they just like talk shit and they're like, but we'll never say it for the interest of keeping the peace of the family. And I have a lot of respect for that. But there's only so much someone can take.
No, and it's like they'll try and keep the peace as long as possible. But when Teresa's starting to start with them, when she breaks the peace, it's like, oh, you want to break it? Here's what we think.
Yeah, and the dinner was so insane for a multitude of reasons. One, she told Melissa to shut up when they were literally just talking. Like, how fucking disrespectful is that? Like, Jennifer Aiden, you're all so concerned with how Marge talks to her husband. Look at how your fucking best friend talks to her sister. Like, it's disgusting.
Disgusting.
Then keeps bringing it back to Joe Giudice saying that, like, Melissa, Dolores, and Joe Gorga need to apologize to Teresa for saying he was going to take her money. First of all, okay, yes, they were wrong, but they were just worried about you. Like, and they don't owe anyone anything.
No.
Then Joe Gorga said that Joe Giudice is releasing this article about him, like saying he has dirt on Joe Gorga and like threatening him, and like Teresa does nothing. So then Teresa's getting into her dumb fight with Jackie again, and Melissa and Joe are just expected to like come to the rescue.
Right.
It's so asinine and so backwards.
So backwards.
And I just loved when they exploded. I really did.
No, I loved all of the different explosions. And like, there were so many other fights. And like, I felt like people didn't even know like what was happening when Margaret for like 0.5 seconds turned on Jackie. I was glad because Jackie was being out of control. And I hope like for the sake
they're fine.
No. I know that they're fine. Like, was she so drunk? Because her emotions were just like all over the place.
Right, because she spent most of the dinner just being like, I'm fine, stop worrying about me.
And then like she was literally a puddle of tears, like inconsolable. And the fact that she would like come away from that and be so upset with Joe Benigno, like stop. And I'm so glad.
The next morning she wasn't.
And I thought Margaret handled it expertly and like she...
Margaret was in a tough spot.
She was in a tough spot, but like she didn't back down from from anyone. And Jackie needed to be told, like, stop. Like, yeah, you can't just be a big baby.
Yeah, no. And by the way, like, it just wasn't made clear, like, how Joe Benigno said it. Because, yes, he did say he heard it, but that they didn't believe it. And it's like, he's not a paid housewife. He doesn't say things to, like, stir up drama and create plot lines. He was just a guy, like, sharing. Like, I felt so bad for him when he was sitting at that meal. Like, he just, like, had, unbeknownst to him, like, made a colossal fuck up.
Yeah.
And, like, literally turned this whole thing upside down and gave so much credibility to Teresa without knowing it.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad for him. I felt so bad for Marge. And then I did feel bad for Jackie. And I feel like Melissa was really the only one making, like, bringing people back down to earth. Just be like, look at this girl. Like, she's fucking broken. We're talking about her marriage. Like, that's off limits to us. Like, why won't you stop? And I actually had a lot of respect for Melissa for going up against Teresa and just being like, look at this girl. Like, look what you're doing. It's her marriage. And I understand, Teresa, like, you don't have a fucking marriage right now. Maybe you can't understand what that's like. But, like, at some point, like, just let it go.
Yeah. So I think things had to get really bad before they could get a little bit better. I also, the relationship between Teresa and Joe and her brother is just like,
the kiss on the lips.
Oh, no, I'm not worried about that. But, like, it's,
no, Teresa's in love with her brother. Like, okay, 100%. Thank you, thank is you. That what you're trying to say?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 Like, if Joe tells her to do something, she'll do it because she loves him.
No, and she's just like, I think it's really hard for her. Not
and I
like,
think, and I think, like, if you want to, like, I'm not, you know, a family therapist, but, like, if you want to get down to the root of, like, her disdain for Melissa that's always
coming. Joe Gorga's a husband she wish she had.
No, and, like, yeah, she wants to be, like, married to her brother.
No, but, like, not in a sexual way, but in, like, that's no, like, the
Melissa
exact type
takes
of
away, like, the, like, time and energy and love from Teresa, like, because she's his wife, and, like,
yeah,
there's, like, a jealousy that's not just, like, girl stuff. It's, like, sibling.
Yeah, no, it's weird for 100%. But I, like, love Joe and Melissa's marriage so much, and I really think, like, no one's in a tougher spot than Joe. Like, having to choose, and I have a lot of respect for him that he will always defend his wife, like, against his sister. And it's not hard because his sister's always wrong.
But he also, like, does the best that he can at not, like,
blowing it up,
piling on to Teresa. Like, he jumps in when it's absolutely necessary, but, like, he tries to defend her as much as possible, and that's really all you can ask for.
It was just, like, uncomfortable watching so many parts of it. Like, of course, when Joe, Margaret, and Jackie were fighting, like, I literally wanted to die. And then watching Jackie and her crazy-ass hair extensions just, like, sob in Dolores and Frank's living room, like, it was so fucking crazy. It was
when Jackie Twilight Zone. Went back to Melissa's and called her husband, like, again,
in the foyer.
I'm operating under the guise that she was so drunk because it's the only way that, like, I can make sense of any of it.
Rationalize.
And, like, literally piling onto him. And it's like, in this instance, like, Jackie just needs to be stronger, like, for her family. And, like, she'll, like, her husband, it's obviously really affects him and his business. Like, she needs to internalize
it more. She's the armor.
She's not, like, she's just making everything, like,
bigger
and worse and she needs to shoulder more of it. Like, I'm sorry.
No, I know.
Like, this is your world.
Don't get me wrong. Teresa started this whole thing, and Teresa is unequivocally wrong.
But the way Jackie's handling it is
made it into a full-blown storyline.
And then now she's like, I'm not giving life to this. It's like, this is a teenager now.
No, literally. Like, it's so silly. And that I actually, like, never have had less respect for Teresa then when she, like, said she didn't want to talk to Evan. She's like, no, you could talk to him, like, you know. And Jackie's like, no, I think you should talk to him. Like, really? You're going to run your mouth at his birthday party, talk shit about him, not back down, and you won't even say one fucking word to his face? Like, and you pretend like you're so confident and strong. Really, bitch? Like, that is the most cowardly shit I've ever seen.
No, it gets worse, more cowardly, when in her interview, she's like, I'm old school. Like, the husband and wife sorted out, but I guess they have a different sort of marriage. Yeah, like, a marriage.
Yeah.
One word.
You know, she was just like
one where they don't send each other to jail.
She was off her fucking rocker last night. Like, the fact that she had literally the gall to say to Jackie, like, I don't think I want to talk to your husband. Like, after all you fucking done, you don't even have the testicle to speak to this man. I found it appalling. Because, you know what, say what you want about Teresa, but she's a fucking beast. She's strong. She could go up against anyone. And now she's like, I don't want to talk to your husband.
I don't want to talk to a boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, what are you, fucking 11? It was crazy to me. Like, I was floored, and I never had less respect for this woman in my life than I did her standing talking to Jackie. No, I don't want to talk to Evan. What? What? It was crazy.
I have to be honest. The worst moment of the episode for me. No. Where I literally, my hand was like this. I was like so feeling so awkward. I can't. It was the worst moment. When they're on the boat and Teresa's taking pictures.
Oh my God! God! Yes! Yes!
Of Jackie and Evan.
Trying to be like sweet.
Trying to be sweet, being like kiss. And it's like, oh, you're so literally cute. Trying to break this couple apart. Like, trying to take
I totally forgot about that.
No, like, you
and it's like, I wanted to appreciate her effort, but she's done so much damage and she's been so wrong. I can't help but cringe.
I'm gonna like be sick
from it was sick.
I'm going back in though.
No, that's
and the
awful.
Fact that like Jackie and Evan like
obliged
participated and like
it was community theater. Like it was fucking awful.
No, I've never felt so much from the community theater.
No, I know.
Oh my God.
Also then things like took another turn at lunch when the guys get up and Marge and
shout out to the guys, like they handled it like pros, because obviously you can't shut the conversation down, this is your wives' jobs, they're on a show, but everything is so much more heated and personal when the men are there, because they're literally talking about the men, but the men don't want to get involved and like stand up for their wives, which I completely
and
understand.
They don't want to turn their backs on each other like guys night,
right,
you know?
They're friends, like. No.
I have much respect for Frank Catania, by the way. He did not say one word in the car about Joe Benigno, and he did not say one word at dinner about
Joe
Benigno.
So much respect for him. I have so much respect for Joe Gorga being like, men, up,
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Take your salads.
And let's go. But it was like, Margaret and Jennifer Aiden like kept saying below the belt things to each other, but Jennifer fucking started it. Like, things were finally going well. She's the one who brought up last night, and then she just completely fucking lost the whole thing when she said the thing about her boss
that she brought up the night before. Like, finally it was smoothed over. Like, what are you doing? Of course the boss comment was like so below the belt, like took a vulnerable moment and used it and weaponized it. But to me, the initial crime is even bringing up last night.
Agreed.
Because even if you're not going to get into a fight with Margaret, why would you put Jackie and Teresa like back in that place? What are you trying to
do? And you claim to be Teresa's friend, so like, why are you bringing this back up?
I'm so turned on Jennifer.
Me too.
Like, and even though this is probably not even the worst thing she's ever done.
I know.
I
know. It's hard because, like, you want to like her. Like, her family stuff is, like, funny and interesting, and she is such great style, and I live for her husband. But, unfortunately, that's not enough to negate all of the negativity that she brings.
And after, like, her bringing up last night and what she said to Margaret, anything that Margaret has now retorted, said about her, fair game.
I agree.
Even that word.
I agree. And also,
the concubine comment.
What's a concubine?
Like, it's really mean.
Like, she's basically said, like, because Jennifer was like, I can't believe you talked to your husband that way, which, by the way, is such a nasty thing to say. Like,
of course,
stay out of people's fucking marriages. And then Margaret was like, well, yeah, you can't talk to your husband in any other way because he's your fucking meal ticket, you concubine.
Yeah, a woman who lives with a man but has lower status than his wife or wives.
Oh, didn't even know there was a word for that.
Yeah, and also that's
such
like the
a
word
concubine.
That, that I think, did Candace call Ashley Darby a concubine?
I have no idea. I've never heard that word.
I believe that she did. It's like a biblical term, and
like whore.
It's like so specific and poignant.
Yeah, no, like, and the fact that Margaret was just able to like pull that SAT word out of her back pocket.
We have no choice but to respect.
No, but see, like, I think of course, like the sleeping with the boss comment was so atrocious, but like it really riled me up when she said, like, I can't believe you talk to your husband that way. Like, first of all, you don't know how people communicate. Second of all, stay the fuck out of people's marriages. Like, it was so...
Didn't we just learn that?
It bothered me, like, more than all the other stuff. Like, because if somebody ever said that to me, I would be like, mind your own fucking business. Like,
100%.
And she was just trying to make Margaret look so bad. Like,
yeah.
You talk down to your husband. Like, it was just, like, really, really disrespectful. So I'm fully team fucking Margaret.
I'm 100% team Margaret, never looking back. I'm very upset with Jennifer.
And you know what? I actually walked out of the episode with a little bit more respect for Dolores, because for me, Dolores's blind spot has always been Teresa. Like, Dolores has had a really unique way of being the real moral compass of the show, except when it comes to matters involving Teresa. And it gets like frustrating because where is that like smart wit moral compassy vibe when it comes to the Teresa shit? But she's always just kind of been blinded by it. And I feel like last night she told Teresa to apologize after dinner. She doesn't come out as strong as she should for Teresa, but at least now she's navigating Teresa in the correct way. And she was the one who, like, audibly gasped when Jennifer Aiden said, like, that thing about Margaret's boss.
Yeah, I feel like even though she's not, like, you know, sticking up for
she's on the wrong side of history.
No, but she's not defending Teresa, which she usually does.
Yeah.
So,
but, like,
that's
she's
a
at
start.
The wrong shore house, you know? I would love...
It's her house.
No, I know, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, in terms of, like, it's like, these are the two couches.
But, no, but, like, still, it's like what she said to Jackie, like, we're cut from a different cloth. Like, Teresa and Jennifer, like, they are just more similar, you know?
I know, but, like, for my personal enjoyment, I would just, like, Dolores on the right side of history.
I know, but then you'll start. Then you'll get a fight between Dolores and Jackie, and I don't want that either.
Not again. Even though that was pretty funny. Okay, Jackie.
It's high quality fabric. Every time I hear her tagline,
me too. I laugh.
I may be quite cut from a different cloth, but it's high quality fabric. I just laugh from our assessment.
I know that was like the most random fucking story.
she sounds like rug sales.
She literally sounds like she works in the garment district. 100%. Like she's trying to sell, you know, a client.
Her fabric.
Yeah, it's the highest quality fabric. So it's honestly such a good season. Like I kind of dread watching Dallas. I look forward to Jersey. Like, I watched live. I was so excited to watch.
Me too. No, I turned on my TV at 8 o'clock, found out it was on at 9.
Me too. And so I rewatched the old episode.
Oh, no. What did I... Oh, I put on Discovery Plus, Ina Garten. She was making a delicious salmon taco.
It's just so good. And it's like the franchise we really needed from them because we had a couple rough years there. So. Yeah.
No, it's really good.
I'm loving it. And I can't wait for next week. And Team Margaret for life.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians is on tonight. Yep. Bittersweet once again.
I'm headed out to dinner, so...
Yum.
I don't know if I'm going to watch it. Like, depends on how many drinks that I have.
Okay. See how you feel.
I'll give you one guess to guess where I'm going to dinner.
I know where.
Where?
Your addiction.
Yeah.
Can I say it?
Yeah.
Zero Bond?
Yep. I'll be there. That's our show.
No, it's not April Fool's. It's someone else's.
No, but really, that's our show. Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Show. It's The Millennial Morning Show. We deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Show and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We hope you guys have an amazing Thursday. Don't forget to acknowledge the space you're currently in. And we'll see you tomorrow for...
Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Goodbye.
Bye.